Okay, well, like you said, we're in James, and so this is number two in the series, Faith Works. Faith Works, we talked last time about faith works in the hard times, didn't we? And then what the problems that the people that James were writing to were going through and his advice to them. So today, if you would stand and turn to James chapter 1, verse 19. James chapter 1, verse 19. We'll talk more about the context in a little bit and what was going on, but first let's just read the verses and we'll get into the message tonight. James 1, verse 19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren," again, wherefore, looking back to the message he had about what they're going through, "my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." And that's been used in a lot of different contexts, right? But let's see what James has to say about that. "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father, is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." So again, this is message two in our series, Faith Works, and out of James. And the message tonight is, do the word inside and out. Let's play on words. Inside and out. Or to know inside. Inside and out. Do the word inside and out. Another title could be, hear the word, do the word, live the word. Let's pray and we'll get into it tonight. I think that'll make more sense to you as we go. Lord, we love you so much again. And we're just so thankful for all that you do, Lord, just overwhelmed and by your grace and your mercy in our lives, and that you give us so many good things, and you're a personal God who loves us, and we're thankful for that. And Lord, thankful for your word, Lord, that you've saw fit to write words down, Lord, for us to know more about you, Lord, and to know more about ourselves and how to live. And we just pray that you help us to be attentive to it and open to it, Lord, and help me, especially tonight, just help me to be clear. And Lord, just remove me out of the way and help these people to hear your word tonight. We love you. Christ in my pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So I'm sure you've heard the phrase, "I know this inside and out," right? Have you heard that before? Like, what do people mean whenever they say that, though? I know this inside and out. To know something inside and out is to know all the parts of something. So know both its inner workings and its outer appearances, right? It's to know everything there is to know about that thing. Not just to know the outside of it, but to know how it works and the inner workings. To know everything about that. To know something thoroughly, right? Down to the very last detail. For example, a master mechanic. He knows an engine inside and out, doesn't he? If I saw an engine, I would know what it looks like on the outside. I can say I know an engine out. That's it. Like, I see an engine. I could point to you where the engine goes. In most cars, now these newer cars are kind of weird, it's in the back, but I wouldn't know that. I can show you, you know, what the spark plugs are, where the pistons are, and I could probably say a lot of engine-y words that aren't right, you know, and I can tell you a little bit about the outside, but a master mechanic, one who has spent his life taking these things apart, putting them back together, he knows both what it looks like on the outside, and he can point to things on the outside, but he knows an engine well enough that without even looking inside, he knows what's inside the engine, all the different compartments of the engine. He can name them all off to you for the most part, and he can tell you what they all do, and if one breaks, what is affected, what other parts are affected, and all of those things. He knows it inside and out. Okay? Not me. But I don't claim to know an engine inside and out. A student should know his material for his test inside and out. Right? I might be stepping on some toes tonight. I was at the school, and today, subbing, and I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes a student who says he's a student, really, all he does is he studies the answers and that it doesn't know the material inside and out, right? A student is supposed to be able to, like, if you ask him on a test is to prove whether or not you know something inside and out, right? We talked about even testing our faith. Whenever your faith is tested, it'll show whether you know it inside or out, inside and out, whether you just have an external knowledge of faith. Well, these students, you know, they're supposed to know this material inside and out. So it's like if you ask that student about that material, they don't need to know just the answer. They need to know how they arrived at that answer, right? Like to know it, to have it internalized in their brain. Like if you say, what's the square root of 25? Nick, you know it's 5, but they need to know what a square root is, right? Like they need to know inside and out. And that's good. Well, we should always be striving to know the Word of God inside and out, shouldn't we? As Christians, we should be in the Word every day, and we should come to church services like this to learn about the Word. And if we understand, if we truly understand what the Word of God is, as the Word of God, like God Almighty gave us specific words that we have in our hand that can tell us about this life and tell us about who God is and tell us about who we are and how we're supposed to live this life, if we truly get it, then we should always be striving to know the Word of God inside and out, right? That should be one of our priorities, is to know the Word of God inside and out. But I think we'll find as we go through this text that James was making the case that knowing the Word inside and out, sometimes that's not enough. Let's look at what he says in James verse 19. He says, wherefore, so before we go any further, we need to understand that he's, when we talk about this text tonight, we're still writing to the same people that we talked to last week, that he was talking to last week. These same people that were going through all these hard times, the people that were serving God in Jerusalem and just telling people about Jesus, and the church was growing because the Holy Spirit was using their actions. They were living out the Word of God. They were telling people about Jesus Christ. They were excited about being a new Christian. People were becoming saved, and the church was exploding, and then they were being persecuted just because of that. Just because they were serving God, and they had to leave their homes and go to a foreign land where they didn't have a whole lot of stuff, and they were being oppressed, and it was a hard situation, and that's who James is writing to here, okay? And he says, wherefore? So thinking back that to what you're going through and all these problems that you're going through, he says, wherefore? Because they knew their flesh. Because think about last week's message, that their flesh during these hard times was going to draw them to do bad things, right? Right, fleshly things, to draw them to respond to these bad situations negatively, right? And worry and fear and anger and all of these things. And God was saying through James that they can view these things in a positive light and as a way to test their faith and grow closer to God, but what their flesh wants to draw them away. That's the last thing that I talked about here. It's like when you're tempted because your flesh is drawing you to respond in a bad way. And he says, wherefore, knowing that that's how your flesh is, verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. James was saying, don't do the first thing that comes to mind, okay? Because I don't know about you, but whenever I'm in a situation that I don't like and I'm not a favor of what's going on in my life, the first thing that comes to my mind, not usually a good thing, right? The first thing I want to say, I don't say that. Usually. Sometimes I do. But he's saying, don't be swift to speak. Don't be swift to wrath. That what you want, your flesh, what it wants to do, don't do that. Don't respond instantly. But he says, slow down. And be swift to do this. Be swift to hear. Be swift to know what God says about this. He's talking about the Word of God. He mentioned it in the verses just previous and throughout this whole text. He says, be swift to hear the Word of God. Be swift to think about. Whenever you're going through a hard time, this is what you need to do. Just be swift to think, what does God want me to do in this situation? You might not always know it right off the bat, but I'm just saying that whenever you're going through a hard time, it'd be good for you to not think about what you want to do and to think a little bit about what would God have me to do and how would he have me to respond. And I'm just saying, don't do what comes to your mind at the first. It's not good. It does this. Look in verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The thing that you want to do is not going to accomplish anything good for God. I almost guarantee you that first thing that pops in your mind, almost guaranteed, is not going to accomplish anything good, not going to accomplish any righteousness. It's not going to do anything for the work of God. Don't do it, okay? Wherefore, again, knowing this, lay apart all filthiness and all superfluity of naughtiness. And I don't really have to go into that and what that means. It's, you know, those are pretty bad words, okay? Filthiness, wickedness, and superfluity of naughtiness. That means like the height of wickedness. Lay that aside. And you know what that is? That sums up your flesh. That sums up what you naturally want to do. Whenever you're going through something like this, or really throughout your life, what he's saying is lay apart what your natural desires and tendencies are. Lay those aside. And he says to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. So lay aside your natural impulses and your natural desires and what you want to do. Lay that aside and receive with meekness, humbly. And humbly means to make yourself low, which means what you want to do, it doesn't matter. Suppress that and receive humbly the engrafted word, the word that's implanted in you, the word that was able to save your soul. You were saved because you allowed the gospel to implant within you, that it was internalized and you believed it and you had faith upon it. And he says you need to have the word of God, all the word of God, implanted in your heart so that whenever engrafted, it sounds like written out, but really if you study the word, it means to be implanted. And you need to have the word of God implanted into your heart so that whenever you're going through these things, you can turn to what God has to say. But if you don't have the word of God in your heart, if you haven't received what God wants you to do, if you don't have that in your heart from the beginning, you're not going to know what to do. And so you need to be a hearer of the word. You need to hear what the word has to say. And that means not just listening, like you come here, most of the people in this room will be here 3 times a week, 4 times a week for Sunday school, and you'll, you know, read your Bible daily, if not, you know, daily or often at least, and you hear the word of God and you listen to the word of God and all these things, but you need to really hear it. You know what I'm talking about? To listen to it, to understand it. And you need to make that a priority so that you know biblical principle and how you're supposed to respond to this life so that when you get in that situation, you can go back and say, what would God have me to do? That's what you need to do. You need to be a hearer of the word. You need to constantly deny what your flesh is telling you. Constantly, over and over again, because your flesh is always going to be talking to you. Last day of your life, your flesh is going to be constantly pulling at you and pulling at you. We blame a lot of things on the devil and what the devil is telling us and all those things, but we have enough to worry about with our own flesh, that our flesh is always pulling at us and wanting us to do all these things, and that's never going to leave. But we need to constantly suppress what the flesh wants you to do and lay that aside and don't listen to the flesh, but instead hear the word of God and be a hearer. And that's important. It's important. Read the word daily. Study the word. Know the word. Know the word inside and out. And be a hearer. James said that these scattered Jews here, they were to be hearers of the word. They needed to know what God had to say so that they could make it through this situation they were in. You need to know what God wants you to do. But they also need to be doers of the word. Right? Look in verse 22. He says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I mean, it was a good thing that they knew the word of God and were able to know exactly how God would have them to respond. That's a good thing. But if they didn't actually do that, it did them no good, right? In fact, when the scattered Jews, they were hearers of the word and not doers of the word, they were deceiving themselves. They were deceiving themselves because they were thinking, oh yeah, I know everything that there is to know about God and life and, you know, they were Jews from Jerusalem, so they already had a foundation of the word of God. And it's like, yeah, I know who God is. I know what he would want me to do. I know all of these things. But then if they don't act upon it, they're deceived because they think that they're doing right. They think that they're following God because they know all of this stuff about God. But unless you actually go through with it and act out what God wants you to do, you're deceiving yourself. Deceived. You can have 1,000 verses memorized. You can know the Ten Commandments verbatim. I'm talking about punctuation and everything. You can have all that down. You can know how to respond properly to any situation that you come to. You say, yep, this is what I need to do. But if you don't actually do what you know you're supposed to do, then you're deceiving yourself because you think you're so spiritual and so godly because you know your Bible, which is a good thing. You need to know your Bible, but if you're not a doer of the word, it does you no good to be a hearer of the word. It does you no good. And that's how James describes a man. This is how he describes a man who's a hearer of the word. That's what I love about James. He's so practical and he gets so in your life. And he says, if you're a doer of the word, I mean, if you're a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, this is what you're like. Verse 23. For if a man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And so the glass there is a mirror. So it's like a man who comes up to a mirror and he sees his natural face. You ever seen your natural face? Not good, okay? You wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, like, oh my goodness, hairs everywhere, got the eye crusties, you know what I'm talking about, the drool marks. Yeah, maybe not everybody has those. I'm just saying that they exist, okay? And so you get up and you look in the mirror, and what do you want to do? You got to fix it, okay? You need to fix it. We all know those people who don't fix it. Who's been to Walmart, right? Yeah, you're at Walmart, you know, self-respecting man, you know, anyways. And you're looking around, and you see the guy in the pajamas and the hair. And what's the first thing that you think? That man did not look in the mirror, okay? He did not look in the mirror. And if he did look in the mirror, that man's a fool, okay? He needs to get that figured out. And I just know. I mean, you know, you try to think in your mind, at least I do this all the time. I think too much. But it's like, I know if that man knew what he looked like, he would do something about it, right? But then you think, no, probably he wouldn't. But anyways, so he says that if you're a hearer of the word and not a doer, then you're like a man who beholds his face in a glass, verse 24, for he beholdeth himself, he sees all of his problems, beholds, he sees all of the problems and the errors with his life and all the problems that he has, and then he goes his way. So it's like the Walmart guy who saw himself and all of his problems and all of his faults and failures. Totally failed. Anyways, and he sees himself and he just goes his way. And then he goes his way, and then let's just read it. And straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And you see that man at Walmart. It's as if he has no idea what he looks like. It's a sad deal. It's a sad deal. I mean, there's glasses. I mean, there's glass windows. I'm sure he sees himself. But anyway, but it's as if he has no idea. He has not a care in the world that his hair is everywhere and his face looks like it does and his clothes are what they're like. And then if you're a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, you're spiritually the Walmart guy. You're spiritually the guy that, because the word of God, if you read the word of God, what it's going to show you is exactly what you look like. It's going to show you the problems that you have in living. It's going to show you all the failures that you have and the frailties that you have and the issues that you have. And I guarantee you, if you're honest and you're really hearing the word of God and you're honest with yourself, there's going to be some faults and some failures and some problems that need to be fixed. They'll be there. But the word of God doesn't only show you the things that need to be fixed. The word of God is faithful and he is gracious and he will show you how to fix it. It's in there. You need to recognize it, and just all you need to do is what you got to do. Repent of it and turn your life around and make those changes. And God says that a humble and a contrite and a broken spirit, he's not going to despise that. And if you see what you look like and you shouldn't be happy. Whenever you see what you look like, you shouldn't be content with how you look. You should want to change. And if you see the problems in your life and you're humbled by them and you're broken by them and you want them to be different and you're willing to change, then God will have grace upon you and he'll help you change and he'll forgive you of those things. And if you confess your sins, in 1 John 1:9, confess your sins, which doesn't mean just to say, I'm sorry. It literally means to agree with. If you agree with God about your sins and you want to turn from your sins and repent from your sins, then God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you can fix all of those problems that the word of God reveals in your life. But if you decide to, I see all these things that are wrong with me, but no big deal, keep going. It's not good. It's not good. Verse 25 says, whoso looketh, though, this is the other man, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. What is that? That's the word of God. It's perfect, which it is inerrant. It is, you know, without error, but perfect there doesn't mean that. It means complete. The complete law that shows you everything you need to know of liberty, that if you listen to the word of God and you follow the word of God, your flesh will tell you you'll be bound and your life will be terrible and your life will have no fun. But if you follow the perfect law of liberty, you will be free and you'll have peace and you'll have fulfillment and your life will be right. And the man who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continueth, follows down that path, follows what the word of God tells him to do, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. These men that he's talking to, if they were to look into the perfect law of liberty, look into the word of God, saw who they really were, and knew exactly what they were supposed to do, and they chose to act upon it, James says they'd be blessed. It's not enough to hear the word of God, although that's important. You need to, and you can't do any of this unless you're a hearer, unless you're given to understanding the word of God. You're not going to be able to make these changes, but it's not enough to hear the word. You need to hear the word and do the word. Hear the word and do the word. But James says that these people, these scattered Christians, they're not only supposed to hear the word and do the word outwardly, but they were to live. Live the word. What does that mean? Well, look in verse 26. He says, If any man among you seem to be religious, and right there when he says religious, it's not the same word religious that we think about, like, you know, the different religions out there and you believe in God. He's talking about outward actions. Like, he's talking to Jews here and they would understand the ceremonial things, the outward actions. But it's not just the empty ceremonial things, it's just the outward things that we do for God, public acts for God. And those aren't bad. But if any man seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. He's talking about public actions for God. The things that you're supposed to do that people can actually see them. The things that you do. The public things. James is saying that if there's any of you who on the outside and in public look good, and seem like, yeah, people say, yeah, that guy loves the Lord, that guy loves people, that guy's doing what God wants him to do. But then whenever you talk to him, you know, and you get to know him, you find out he can't seem to control his tongue. Whether that's actual vulgar language or absolutely just tearing people apart with his words or just never has anything good to say. You know what that tells you? James says it later on, but it's all throughout the Word of God, that a man who can't control his tongue is a man who hasn't dealt with his heart. And so if there's a man among you who publicly, on the outside, looks good, he's doing everything that God wants him to do, but then whenever you get to know him, and you know the private life of that man, and outwardly, publicly, he's living for God, but privately, he's living for himself, James says that that man's religion, that man's public life, the outward actions that that man makes for Christ, they're worthless, they're in vain, they don't matter. If you're a doer of word in public, and a doer of the flesh in private, the good things you do in public, they're worthless. Worthless. Just like the man who thinks he's living for God because he knows a lot about the Bible, but then he doesn't do those things he knows to do. Just like that man is deceived, the man who does things in public for everybody to see, but then in private or with his loved ones or when he's with people that he doesn't really care what they think about him, that man acts in the flesh and follows his own way. That man is deceived as well because he thinks he's living for God. He's like, yeah, I mean, everyone can see it. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. I'm here at church every Sunday and even on Thursday nights, you know, I do all the things. I help the old ladies across the street. I do all these things that people look at me and this is what they say about me. That man loves God. And so that's true. If everyone thinks it about me, then it's true. But then whenever you get around your family, or you get around those that who know you, who truly know you, and they're like, yeah, that man, wow, his mouth, it's always running about everybody, or whatever it is. It's not, he says the tongue, but it's not just the tongue. What he's talking about is that whenever people can't see you, if you're doing what your flesh wants you to do and not what God wants you to do, then this is what you are. You're an ingenuine. You're acting ingenuine whenever you're acting in public like you should, and then in private way you shouldn't. And he says those things that you're doing in public at that time, because your heart isn't submitted, you're doing things outwardly, but you're not doing the word in your heart, then you're ingenuine, and your outward acts, they're worthless. That's what he says. James says that's not pure religion. That's defiled religion. That's hypocritical religion. Verse 27, he says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So, doing right and looking like you love God in public, it's obviously not a bad thing. That's a good thing. People should look at your life in your workplace, and they should say, that man loves God. You should have a good testimony. But pure religion, pure public actions for God, and undefiled before him is this. This is what he says: to serve the fatherless and serve the widows. Now, he's not defining it. He's not defining pure religion and saying, these are the only things that are pleasing to God. Serve the fatherless, serve the widows. So we won't have church anymore. We'll just all meet here and we'll go find fatherless people and widows. He's not saying that. He's giving examples. He's saying that the fatherless and the widows, especially at that time and even in our day, those people, they had nothing in that society, zero. The fatherless and the widows, they had no one to provide for themselves. They were totally helpless. And if you were to help a person that was fatherless or a widow, then this is what you can know. You're going to get nothing in return from those people. What can they give you? Nothing. They have no money. They have no influence. So it's not like they can go tell everybody, this man helped me and everyone's going to care. No, you're going to have to be a little bit, you're going to have to forget about yourself a little bit whenever you serve these people. Right? James is saying that if you want to serve God in public and do outward actions that will be seen by others, you can't do it for God and for yourself at the same time. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and serve your ambitions at the same exact time. It can't happen. You can't serve God in the spirit and serve God in the flesh at the same time. You can't do something for God and for personal gain. You can't do things that will help you in this life, but you can do things that will help you in this life. I mean, you need to take care of yourself, you need to provide for yourself. You can do things for yourself, but your motive needs to be that God will be glorified and that others will be brought closer to Christ with your life. That needs to be your ultimate motive, that whenever you're doing things outwardly, that you're thinking about God and not just thinking about how people are going to be looking at you. The people that would be a doer of the word in public and a doer of the flesh at home were ultimately doing the word for their flesh. Do you see that? They're doing the word for their flesh. Do you hear how hypocritical that sounds? And that should do something inside of you, that you're using God for your flesh in the end. That's what's happening. Those people that will serve God just for other people to praise them and to give them accolades and stuff like that. They're doing the word in order to have to appease some fleshy desire of money or prestige or accolades or you name it, that they're whenever you're serving God for yourself, it's not a good thing. They would hear the word and do the word, but they were very, very far from living the word. Christians need to be genuine when they act upon the word of God. We need to be genuine. You're here and you have the smile and you seem like, you know, you love God and you love people, and hey, that's a good thing. I mean, don't come in here and just be like, who cares about anything? I'm just going to sit in my pew, and I'm not talking to anybody. I mean, you need to come here and be a blessing, be an encouragement to people. That's part of what we're here at church for, is to encourage each other and all of that. But whenever you're by yourself, or at home, or with the lost, who don't care about how you act, right? Who aren't going to judge you, or aren't going to bring you down for saying a bad word, or for doing whatever. And then in those times, whenever you're fine with doing whatever you want, you might want to consider if you're serving God or if you're serving yourself. Just consider it. Just be a doer of the word inside and out. I think we're good at doing the word on the outside, but we need to do the word inside and out. We need to hear the word, do the word, and live the word. Do what the word of God says, no matter what situation you're in, no matter who sees you. You need to hear the word. You need to come to church. You need to read your Bible. But whenever that happens, you have to choose to lay aside your flesh and really hear it and to receive it. Receive the engrafted word so that it's important to you that you hear the word. That needs to be important to you. But you also have to do the word. You're deceiving yourself if you hear the word and know exactly what you're supposed to do, but never do it. It does you no good, and it does God no good. It's not pleasing to him. It does nobody any good whenever you hear the word and you're all puffed up, but you don't do the word. So you need to do the word, but you also have to live the word. You have to be genuine in your service for God. You have to choose to serve God rather than self. So be a doer of the word inside and out. Remember that this week. As you're living this life and you're in different situations, do the word inside and out. Hear the word, do the word, live the word. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for this time, Lord, to gather around your word. We're thankful that you've given it to us, that we can know how to live this life, that we have that ability, Lord, to know how to respond in certain situations and how not to respond in certain situations. I just pray that you help us to be submitted to it and to be genuine in our service for you. And I know that we fail so many times and we allow our flesh to take over, but I just pray that you would forgive us and help us and give us mercy and grace, because we're so very aware that we can't live this life on our own. And Lord, we can't do what you want us to do in a selfless way, like you ask, on our own. But help us to understand our dependence upon you and to surrender to you tonight. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.